All right, we're all set for the party. I've trimmed the tree, hung the mistletoe, and paired all those weird-shaped knives and forks with the appropriate cheeses. And I plugged in the Bartesian.
Bartesian?
It's a home cocktail maker that makes over 60 premium cocktails, plus a whole lot of seasonal favorites, too. I just got it for 50 off. So, how about a Klosmopolitan or a mistletoe margarita?
I'm thirsty.
Watch. I just pop in a capsule, choose my strength, and...
Wow, it's beginning to feel more seasonal in here already.
If your holiday party doesn't have a bartender, then you become the bartender. Unless you've got a Bartesian, because Bartesian crafts every cocktail perfectly in as little as 30 seconds. And I just got it for $50 off.
Tis the season to be jollier.
Add some holiday flavor to every celebration with the sleek, sophisticated home cocktail maker, Bartesian. Pick up your phone and shake it to get $50 off any cocktail maker. Yes, you heard me. Shake your phone and get $50 off. Don't delay.
Well, in typical Big 12 fashion, it took until about midnight Central Time in Saturday, November 30th, of course, week 14 of the college football season, to figure out who is going to be playing in the Big 12 championship. But we have it. It's Arizona State, of course, taking on Iowa State. Welcome in. I'm Pete Mundo. We're Heartland College Sports. We cover the Big 12, and we appreciate you being here as always. As a part of the show, the regular season is in the books, and there is so much to talk about from week 14. So welcome in. Thanks for joining us. Hit the thumbs up on the video if you're on YouTube. And if you are not yet subscribed, subscribe. And if you think you are, check. Same thing on the Apple Podcasts and Spotify. A lot of teams celebrating for different reasons this morning across the Big 12. So let's talk about week 14. The games were not great. But the storylines coming out of the games were absolutely tremendous, for better or for worse. All right, so welcome in, and let's start off with what I thought was the best game of the weekend in the Big 12 Conference, and that is Farmageddon. First off, can the Big 12 finally admit they screwed up and make Farmageddon a protected rivalry? It is the stupidest thing the Big 12 has done under the new regime, and they've mostly made all the right moves. But not making Iowa State, Kansas State a protected rivalry game every single year is just nonsensical. Brett Yormark was at the game on Saturday night in Ames, and I really hope that he just says, you know what, I'm putting my thumb on the scale and we're correcting this wrong. This game needs to be played every single year in the Big 12 Conference. No ifs, ands, or buts for a league that is desperately trying to find rivalries. When you've got one, don't screw it up. Make sure this game is played every year as it has been for over 100. So Iowa State beats Kansas State 29-21. And of course, Iowa State then needed to make sure that BYU beat Houston to get to the Big 12 championship game. Had Houston won that game, Colorado would have gone to the Big 12 championship game. So Iowa State wins the game 29-21. And I'll tell you what, Rocco Beck didn't have a great game. If you look at the box score, you're not going to see big-time numbers. But it's 17 degrees, single-digit wind chills, and Rocco Beck showed me something in this game on Saturday night. There was a leadership quality. There was a toughness quality. He took a lot of big hits, but he got the team where it needed to go. And, of course, you know, they took advantage of some primetime opportunities when you look at what Iowa State did on both sides of the ball and taking advantage of turnovers and just things that good teams do to win games in rivalry games when you've got Big 12 championship aspirations on the line. And, you know, it's 17 degrees. So I saw more from Rocco Beck than the box score might indicate. And that's what impressed me most for this team. Going up against a Kansas State defense that we knew was going to do a good job stopping the run. And for the most part, they did. I mean, Iowa State had a pretty balanced attack. But the defense as well for Iowa State really showed out impressively in this game. And I don't know about you, but for me, when this game felt like it was over, was on the Iowa State safety. When Iowa State got that safety against Avery Johnson, who was backpedaling in the left corner of the end zone, and then throws it to the left side of the field to absolutely nobody. At that point, it goes 26-21 Iowa State, and it just felt like Iowa State had that game. They had all the momentum. Everything was going in their favor, and they get the safety. And even though it was still a one-score game, it just felt like K-State was not going to recover from that. And they really didn't recover from that. Even though Iowa State only had the field goal and the safety in the fourth quarter, and those were their only points in the second half, it was enough. K-State played tough, but Avery Johnson looked like a first-year starting quarterback. In a tough rivalry game, on the road, cold weather, John Heacock's defense barreling down on you on a regular basis, that is exactly what Avery Johnson looked like. Now, Kansas State's going to be A-OK. I genuinely believe that. I know some people are down on Chris Klieman and down on the coaching staff. See, here's why that's not fair. In this new look Big 12, the schedule that you draw matters. So four teams finished at 7-2, tied for first place in the Big 12. Kansas State played all four of those teams, and three of them were on the road. The only home game against Arizona State, BYU, Colorado, and Iowa State, the only home game was Arizona State. The other three, BYU, Colorado, and Iowa State, they all played on the road. And of course, they beat Colorado of those three. Iowa State and Colorado didn't play any of the other three that they were tied for first place with. Arizona State and BYU played one of the other three they were tied for first place with. So in the Big 12, while nobody thought that K-State's schedule, when it included all four of those teams, were going to be the best teams in the Big 12. I mean, let's be honest. Colorado, BYU, and Arizona State were picked in the bottom half of the league in the preseason. But this is why you play the games. Suddenly, those turned out to be three of the best four teams, and K-State had to play all four of them, and three of those games were on the road. So when you sit there, if you're a Kansas State fan, and you're like, oh, what a disappointing season, you went 8-4. If eight wins is a disappointing season, your program's in a great place. And it just so happened that you had to play four of the teams who ended up tied for first place in the conference. So, and that's the thing about the new Big 12. The schedule matters more than it ever has. If you're an old school Big 12 fan, okay, like just a few years ago, remember, what was the phrase that was used by the Big 12 for 10 years? Every game matters. Why? Because they had a true round robin. You had 10 teams. You played 9 conference games. You had a true round robin, and it worked out beautifully. And then one played two in the championship. That's out the window. When you've got 16 teams now, and this is true for every league, and no one's in a division, the breakdown of your schedule makes a big difference. Look at Indiana in the Big Ten. Many will say that schedule is very favorable. Texas, very favorable schedule in the SEC when you compare it to, say, Georgia. So every single conference now has an element to that, including the Big 12. And this is, I didn't think Kansas State was going to compete at the very top of the Big 12. I thought 2025 was going to be their year, and I very much think it can be. But you've got to look back on this season and compare it to what the rest of the conference had to deal with. And K-State had the toughest schedule in the conference when you look at it from that perspective. They played those top four 7-2 teams, three on the road, nobody else did. So K-State fans, I think, have a lot to hold their head high on, and you're going to get another year with Avery Johnson, Dylan Edwards, and the entire team that looked like this was going to be a rebuilding year with that O-line and some of the other key places. K-State's going to be fine. I'm really not worried about it at all. And when you look at it from that perspective, it'll be A-OK. Iowa State, of course, is going to a Big 12 championship. Now, is this Iowa State team the 2020 team? No, it's not. That team was much better. This team is obviously, as we know, dealt with some injuries, especially at linebacker. I don't think it's that 2020 team, or frankly, close to it. But hey, you're going to a Big 12 championship. You are picked sixth in the preseason polls. Your only losses are by a point to Texas Tech, and then, of course, the 9-point loss on the road at KU. So you've got two losses by a combined 10 points, right? You know how to win. You've learned how to win. And that's where you look at this Iowa State team and you say, I know they're an underdog against Arizona State. They're a 2.5-point dog. But Iowa State is more than capable, obviously, of winning this game. Now, we're not going to break down the Big 12 championship game right now, but just know we will do plenty of that this week, which is why you have to be subscribed to this channel here at HeartlandCollegeSports.com. And also check out our free forums. Meantime, you look at the other major game that obviously mattered, Arizona State and Arizona. There is not a lot to say about this game outside of Arizona State dominated. Arizona stinks. It is fair to wonder if Brent Brennan is going to last at Arizona. I think that the program should seriously consider moving on. I know it's going to cost you millions, but this program looks like dog manure. Horse manure might be the better phrase to use. They look awful, man. You go in a rivalry game at home, you can spoil Arizona State's season, and you put up that kind of a clunker? It wasn't even close. Sam Levitt looked like, you know, Patrick Mahomes out there. And Cam Scataboo, God bless him, nearly 200 yards on the ground and three scores. They embarrassed Arizona in Tucson. That is as bad as it gets for a first-year head coach who could have at least left a positive taste in the mouth of his team or his fan base and failed to do it, and failed to do it in a tremendously awful way. There's nothing about that game that you take away from it from a positive perspective for Arizona when you're down 35-0 at halftime and you are getting run out of your own building. Just pathetic from Arizona. You literally got tripled up in yardage. Arizona State had 646 total yards. Arizona had 210. I mean, they got just gouged for 284 yards on the ground to your 84. Nothing about this game went well for Arizona. There's not a positive that comes out of this game. There's nothing that leaves you with a good taste in your mouth if you're an Arizona fan. And it is going to be a very long offseason for Brent Brennan if he makes it to the offseason. And for Arizona State, for a team that was picked to finish dead last in the Big 12, well, forks up, baby. Forks freaking up. Congratulations. I didn't predict this back in August. And let's be honest, the most optimistic Arizona State fan did not predict this in the offseason. But it is the greatest story in college football this season. A team to picked to finish last in a Power Four conference, heading to a conference championship game, and favored to get to the college football playoff. That is incredible work by Kenny Dillingham, who you know is going to get a massive contract extension when this season is over. It is well deserved. He is at his alma mater, and he can turn Arizona State into a powerhouse in a league that does not have one right now. There are, I would say, about 10 teams in the Big 12 who say, we can be the next blue blood, or we can be the team that runs this conference. Arizona State can make that case. Baylor, BYU, Colorado, Iowa State, K-State, TCU, Tech, Utah, they can all make the case. But you want to talk about which one is poised to take advantage right now? It's Arizona State. It's Kenny Dillingham. He's young. He gets it. He understands the name of the game. He knows that his fan base has to donate to NIL. What does he say multiple times this season? You love this team. You love what we're doing. Donate to our NIL fund. That's what's going to make a difference. They've got tens of thousands of young alumni around the country who are going to be re-engaged with this football program, who are going to be rooting on this football program, and you are going to see that play out in real time. And if they win the Big 12 championship, if they get to the college football playoff, man, it's cliche, and I hate to use the cliche, but the sky truly is the limit in a wide-open Big 12. So congratulations to Arizona State. We will talk a lot more, of course, about this Big 12 championship game coming up throughout the week here at Heartland College Sports. BYU beats Houston 30-18 in a late night game. And, you know, unfortunately for BYU, they went into the game knowing that they could not make the Big 12 title game. But, of course, they fought hard. They won the game. And they end the season on a high note. 10 wins once again for a team that was not projected to come close to that number this year. It really was an impressive, impressive turnaround in year two in the Big 12 for Kalani Sitake. Now, you look at how this game went, right? And you look at the way this game played out.
All right, we're all set for the party. I've trimmed the tree, hung the mistletoe, and paired all those weird-shaped knives and forks with the appropriate cheeses. And I plugged in the Bartesian.
Bartesian?
It's a home cocktail maker that makes over 60 premium cocktails, plus a whole lot of seasonal favorites, too. I just got it for 50 off. So, how about a Klosmopolitan or a mistletoe margarita?
I'm thirsty.
Watch. I just pop in a capsule, choose my strength, and...
Wow, it's beginning to feel more seasonal in here already.
If your holiday party doesn't have a bartender, then you become the bartender. Unless you've got a Bartesian, because Bartesian crafts every cocktail perfectly in as little as 30 seconds. And I just got it for $50 off.
Tis the season to be jollier.
Add some holiday flavor to every celebration with the sleek, sophisticated home cocktail maker, Bartesian. Pick up your phone and shake it to get $50 off any cocktail maker. Yes, you heard me. Shake your phone and get $50 off. Don't delay.
Well, as I was watching this game, I'm thinking to myself, okay, all right, Houston, nice job. You get out to a 7-0 lead. That's pretty darn impressive. I like the way things are going. And you're thinking to yourself, okay, all right, this is great. This is awesome. This is going to go potentially Colorado's way. Well, it didn't, and it didn't go that way really, really quickly. And let's be honest, I'm sure that the talking heads at ESPN were excited about the possibility of Colorado making it to a Big 12 championship. I didn't have a horse in the race. I just thought that maybe we'd end up in a situation where all chaos would ensue. And it would just be crazy, crazy impressive for Colorado coming out of nowhere to get to a Big 12 championship after they won on Friday. Instead, special teams were the name of the game. BYU returning the onside kick for a touchdown. And let's be honest, that onside kick attempt was pretty stupid in hindsight from Houston. I don't get why they chose to do it there. I know you want to maybe trick a team on the road. You're up. Your defense is solid. BYU's not a great offensive team. Just play defense there. Trust your guys. Instead, all the momentum swung back to BYU, and even though it was only a tie game, it felt like BYU at that point was going to run away with it. Even though Houston retook the lead, that was such a massive momentum swing, it was going to be hard for Houston to hang on, and it was also just the worst onside kick I've ever seen in my life. But for Houston, listen, they, to me, exceed expectations because of how they played, some of the key games they won, and the progress that was made by Willie Fritz throughout the season. Do I think the quarterback's on the roster? I don't. I'm willing to give Zion Chris a chance and have him be a guy who competes for a quarterback spot come the spring. But they've got to bring in a transfer. They've got to get that side of the ball figured out. The defense was overall pretty good this year in the Big 12. It's the offense that was problematic for Houston. But it feels a little bit, and I've said it all season long, it feels a little bit like Lance Leipold's first year. Now, it was better than Leipold's first year, but they won a lot of games people didn't expect them to win, and overall things trended in a positive direction for this program, which hit rock bottom after firing Dana Holgorsen last season and now turning to Willie Fritz, who I genuinely believe is going to get this team into the bowl conversation and then potentially Big 12 contention as the seasons roll along. But for BYU, hey, when you start off, guess it would have been, what, 7-0? No, I guess it would have been 9-0. And then you lose 2 of 3 to close the season and you miss a Big 12 championship game. It's a tough pill to swallow. I get it. But also, frankly, of the four teams that were ending the season 7-2 in league play, BYU to me was the fourth of those four teams in terms of talent top to bottom and just, you know, quality top to bottom. So I do think the better teams made it to the Big 12 championship game. Now, speaking of better teams, this may be the best team in the Big 12 no one's talking about, and it's Baylor, who ends the season on a six-game winning streak and smokes Kansas 45-17. Dave Aranda gets to the eight-win mark. They are a team that more people should be talking about in the offseason after the way they ended the year with Texas Tech, Oklahoma State, TCU, West Virginia, Houston, and Kansas beating all of them to end the season. It's crazy. If you think about this, if Baylor doesn't give up that Hail Mary to Colorado early in the season and then lose in overtime, Baylor is 7-2, and they end up the year tied for first place in the Big 12. I don't know if the tiebreakers would have gone their way in that scenario, but they're 7-2 and tied atop the Big 12 for first place if that Hail Mary does not go their way against Colorado in, what, late September, I guess that would have been. But this team is on fire. I don't know who's going to do what in the offseason, right? We don't know yet. But I will say this much. Baylor is a team that should get consideration to win the Big 12 next year based on what's coming back. That's how talented this team is and how much they will have coming back on both sides of the ball. Led, of course, by running back Bryson Washington, who's just the most underrated player right now in the Big 12. A freshman, Franklin, Texas, right down the road from Waco, had another 200-yard game, couple of touchdowns on Saturday. Sawyer Robertson, a year older. I mean, there is so much to like about this team and what they will return in 2025. It's really tremendous what this team can do next year, and they're the best team nobody's talking about right now in the Big 12. In fact, if you really want to have the conversation in terms of who the best team is in the Big 12, I know it doesn't matter. You know, your record is what it is. They're not playing for a Big 12 title. But Baylor may be the best team top to bottom in the Big 12 when you stack them up position by position, player by player. That's how good they are, and that's how well they're playing. I thought KU would lay an egg. One of my picks was Baylor plus 1.5 at home, so I nailed that pick on Saturday. And this is partially why Baylor was getting underrated, undervalued. KU came in with all the momentum. KU had all the bets pouring in on them after three straight wins over ranked teams, but it felt like they were due. They had run out of gas, and that's in part what you also saw. So KU is going to miss a bowl game. They had to win that game to get to a bowl game. But listen, the way KU finished their season, they can carry that momentum into next year. It just was too little too late, and the way they blew some of those early season games, totally unacceptable. And Lance Leipold's got to be kicking himself because this is one of those seasons of what could have been. Because you saw the talent with this team when they were playing some of their best football. Right? Over the last 3 weeks, Iowa State, Colorado, BYU, we saw what they were capable of doing and how they could play with anybody in this league when they were playing at their best. Unfortunately for them, they weren't always playing at their best. And unfortunately for them, they really didn't play their best early in the season, the final 2 minutes of the first halves and the second halves, which is when they just got absolutely crushed. And that, a lot of it, is on coaching. But Lance Leipold is going to be fine. This program's going to be fine. There is no doubt in my mind that they would be A-OK and will be A-OK as a program moving forward. Meantime, let's do West Virginia getting smoked by Texas Tech 52-15. Tech ends up 8-4. West Virginia falls to 6-6. And my first question is this. Is Neil Brown really going to come back? Neil Brown seems like a very good man. I've had him on the show before. I really think he's a good guy. But it's fair to look at this team and the step back taken this year and say, is Neil Brown the right guy to lead the program? They did not beat a team that finished with bowl eligibility this season. Every team that West Virginia beat finished below 500. after Cincinnati lost to TCU yesterday. That sealed the deal that West Virginia did not beat a bowl-eligible team this year. They beat Albany, Kansas, Oklahoma State, Arizona, Cincinnati, and UCF. Basically, as I told you for the last month and a half, West Virginia beats who they're supposed to beat, and they lose to who they're supposed to lose to. And at some point, you have to show that you can beat the teams that people don't necessarily expect you to beat, and Neil Brown hasn't shown that. After five seasons, can you bring him back for a sixth? Now, there's rumors all over the place suggesting he could come back, he will come back. It seems more likely than not he will. But when you get just blasted like that, when that's the lasting impression you're leaving your fan base and your administration, 52-15 loss at Texas Tech. And Texas Tech's a good team. They're not 35 points better than West Virginia, blow for blow. When that is how the season ends, and yeah, you're going to go to a bowl game, how jazzed is everybody going to be about that bowl game? Who knows? What are we looking at? A Liberty Bowl for West Virginia? Is this really the way for West Virginia football going forward? And it's fair to wonder whether or not Neil Brown's the guy. But the bigger question might be whether or not West Virginia wants to pay the buyout, which appears to be well north of $10 million. And that is obviously a hefty buyout, especially in this landscape and this current climate of college football. And then the question is, well, who's your next guy up? Does that guy exist? Do you say to Neil Brown, listen, you've got one more year, but this is it? And then you say, well, what does it mean? Like, what does he have to do next year to signify that things are getting better? Like, what's that threshold next season? It can't just be another 6-6 year. It can't. It's a proud program. It's arguably, historically, a top 25, top 30 program in the country, all time in college football history. And it hasn't looked that way in years now in Morgantown. And in a wide-open Big 12, frankly, there's no reason that West Virginia cannot be competing year in, year out for Big 12 titles. That should be an expectation in Morgantown, and it hasn't been in a very long time. They come over from the Big East. Okay, fine, you ran that conference. Big 12 is tougher. Now it's a 16-team league. OU and Texas are out of the picture. It's anybody's conference. It can be West Virginia's. Let's not forget the history of this program. And I feel like that's being forgotten by some in Morgantown at the administrative level. Now for Texas Tech, on a positive note, they end 8-4. And if you look at the year-by-year for Joey McGuire, you've got to be very high on the direction, right? And I am for Texas Tech. If you look back on Texas Tech's season, they went 6-3 in the Big 12. And if they hadn't blown that game, that three-score lead to TCU on the road in Lubbock, or excuse me, on the road in Fort Worth in October, they're 7-2. So they just had their best record under Joey McGuire in Big 12 play, right? I mean, going 6-3, he went 5-4 and 5-4 his first two seasons. So this is a Texas Tech team similar to TCU that feels like, hey, we're right there. I mean, both these programs, I'll get to TCU a little bit more, won 8 games this year and will not get a lot of attention, but they should. Because they're a play or two, a game or two away from having a season that looks a heck of a lot different. And Tech's got to be kicking themselves about that TCU game. And they should kick themselves about that TCU game. But I'm telling you, Joey McGuire is doing really good things. And yes, I know we can rag on, and Tech fans will rag on Zach Kittley all day, every day. And that's understandable to some degree. But what you also got to do is figure out what's next. And what we found out on Sunday is that Texas Tech is firing its defensive coordinator, who has been on Joey McGuire's staff for the last 3 years. So the DC is out. Now, I feel bad when anybody loses their job, but here's what I'll say. When Texas Tech has its best season in the Big 12 in years, and the head coach is still willing to fire a key piece of the coaching staff, that takes some stones. That's not easy to do. And while you don't want to see anybody lose their job, it actually is admirable because Joey McGuire could easily rest on his laurels and say, Tim's my guy. He's not going anywhere. We're staying the course with the staff in place. Clearly something on the defensive side of the ball, and there are certainly things to point to, we're not going the way and developing the way Joey McGuire wanted them to, so he's making a move. And that news came down on Sunday, and that tells me that McGuire is obviously serious about getting this team to compete for Big 12 titles and get into college football playoffs, and he's not going to sit there and say, I've got 8 wins, I went 6-3, and I'm just going to keep going with the way it is. No, I'm making a change after going 6-3 in conference play, could have been 7-2. He's not messing around. That's what that tells me, and that is an admirable move for Joe McGuire, even though you don't want to see people losing their jobs. Also on Saturday, TCU beating Cincinnati 20-13. I just talked a little bit about TCU being a team that's going to get overlooked going into the offseason, but they bounced back with an 8-win season after winning only 5 games last year. Sonny Dykes was coming off that national championship run 2 years ago, threw up a clunker last year, but looked pretty good coming back this season. He's got his quarterback in Josh Hoover. He's got a lot of skill position talent, and I think overall the defense for TCU was a work in progress. It did get better as the year went on. I mean, really from that second half against Texas Tech on, I thought the defense was pretty good. Yeah, they lost the Baylor game, and that's a tough one to lose, but Baylor's also playing some of the best football in the country. And that game turned into an old-school Baylor-TCU shootout kind of a game. But you look at how they played defensively against Oklahoma State, Arizona, Cincinnati. I know those aren't exactly murderer's row of big-time offenses in this league, but I genuinely think that TCU is trending in the right direction under Andy Avalos on that side of the ball after he just got done with his first year as TCU defensive coordinator. And I'm really excited to see what they can do going into next season, because TCU is one of these 8-10 teams that should feel like if things break their way, they can be a consistent contender and winner in the Big 12. TCU's fans should expect that based on the resources, based on the talent-rich environment from a recruiting perspective, based on their NIL that they should be continuing to develop and fund, the coaching staff, the way they pay the coaching staff, right? They've got really good coordinators who are well-respected. Whatever you think of Kendall Briles in the last name, I don't really care. But when it comes to the coaching, Andy Avalos, Kendall Briles, those are good coordinators you've got on both sides of the ball. So things are looking up for TCU, and I want to see how they do in the bowl game and how those guys compete in a bowl game. I think that matters as well. Cincinnati starts 5-2. And they end up going 5-7. My lock of the week was TCU -3.5. So I gave you that as a lock this week, and it turned out to be, a very good pick. I will just say that much. I'm not going to toot my own horn, but I left you guys on a high note here this season, going 2-1 on the picks. So just throwing that out there. That's all. Just wanted to give you a little something to chew on here as we go into the holiday. So with that being said, I'm trying to find my last pick for you guys from earlier in the week, but I'm not finding it right now. So let me see if I can find that before I continue on here. All right, I gave you TCU -3. I gave you Houston +13, and I gave you Baylor +1.5. So I ended with a 3-0 week for the picks in the Big 12. That's pretty darn good. I can't do much better than that. I've been giving you guys 3 picks every week. I do need to tally up my season record for you when it comes to my picks against the spread. But we ended the season with a 3-0 week, TCU -3, Houston +13, and Baylor +1.5. So there you go. But Scott Satterfield should be on the hot seat. We knew the schedule was soft to open up conference play. They got fortunate playing Arizona State when Sam Leavitt was injured. Then they lose five straight games to end the season. Don't become bowl eligible. Lose to Colorado, West Virginia, Iowa State, K-State, TCU. Fine, they won two more games than last year when they went 3-9. Is that enough for Cincinnati fans? Shouldn't be. I'm not saying they're going to be where they were when they were in the AAC under Luke Fickle. I think they're a ways away from that happening. But this is a program that should be bowl eligible every year in the Big 12. And I just don't know what the direction is under Scott Satterfield. Like, I don't know what's going to happen that's magically going to get this team to 7, 8, 9 wins on a regular basis. I know the fan base wasn't wild about the hire. Maybe you give them one more year, but I really think that at this point, Cincinnati is delaying the inevitable. What they need to do is find their Matt Campbell. Right? Now, Matt Campbell came from Toledo. I'm not saying that the next head coach of Cincinnati's at Toledo. I'm just saying they've got to find that guy with deep Midwest ties who's going to really buy in to what Cincinnati's all about. And maybe Cincinnati fans have a better idea than I do on who that person is. But Scott Satterfield always felt like a strange hire. Just never made a lot of sense. You're 2 years in, you end year two on a five-game losing streak after starting off 5-2. I'm not seeing it. But at the same time, I don't know if the want or the will is there to blow them out at this point. I don't. And I know some are going to say, well, Cincinnati is a great stepping stone. I see that from Clint to the Big Ten. I mean, we saw that with Luke Fickle. But I'm telling you, right coach, right situation, you can win there, and you can win there for a long time. And they'll pay you as well. Now, the two games from Friday we'll touch on, they were pretty uneventful too. Colorado smashing Oklahoma State 52-0. Colorado finished 7-2. They went 9-3 overall. Incredible year two for Deion Sanders. They, of course, did not make the Big 12 championship game because of the tiebreakers. They needed Houston to beat BYU on Saturday to get to the Big 12 title. But I respect Deion Sanders more than I ever have, not only because of how this team played on the field, but what he said after the game. His guys are playing in the bowl game, whatever it is. He talked about the importance of building the program, the consistency of building that program. And he took a shot at Florida State as well, his alma mater, saying, look at what happened to those guys. He didn't say them by name, but he alluded to them. Look at what happened to them with their bowl disaster last season, missing the playoff, everyone sits out, and now they win two games this year under Mike Norvell. What a mess. Deion Sanders, I admit, Colorado fans can roast me, and that's fine, because a lot of you guys, you were convinced that Deion was there for the right reasons, wanting to stay for the right reasons, wanting to build the right way, and I was hesitant to get there. I am there now. With the way he's recruiting at the high school level, he will still use the portal by being Deion Sanders, as every smart and good head coach should. But man, I'm telling you, when he said that after the game about building a program and having the bowl game and using it in a positive way for a program to continue that continuity and keep things trending and rowing in the right direction, I was so impressed. And I really hope, and I don't know what his future is, but I really hope it's in Boulder, and I hope it's in the Big 12 for a very long time. It will be tremendous for the Big 12 if that remains the case. And I hope that he's happy, and I hope that Colorado takes care of him, because they will be competing year in, year out. It is not a flash in the pan. He is going to keep building that thing the right way, and it is going to be a tremendous, tremendous several years for Colorado if they keep them there and keep them happy. And I hope that they can. For Oklahoma State, 0-9. Mike Gundy should not just be looked at as this larger-than-life figure who cannot be criticized. They returned an enormous amount of production, almost the same team from last year, and they went 0-9 in the Big 12. Mike Gundy's done amazing things for this university, but it doesn't mean you get to have a total dumpster fire of a season like this and just say, well, I'm Mike Gundy. What are you going to do about it? No. Nope. Nope. No way, no how. That's not how this can work. Mike Gundy deserves, I would say the fan base, the university deserves answers from Mike Gundy and solutions from Mike Gundy. He cannot come back with the same coaching staff. In fact, he should not come back with the majority of this coaching staff if he wants to continue on. And if he doesn't, the university is going to have a tough choice to make. Oklahoma State and the leaders there, from Dr. Shrum on down, are going to have to look themselves in the eyes and say, is this guy the guy to keep this thing going? Yeah, he's had a great 20-year run. Guess what? This happens in corporate America all the time. It happens to athletes. It happens to coaches. I'm not saying Mike Gundy's finished. I'm not suggesting that. But he does not get to come back with the same coaching staff, with the same mentality, with the same approach he did the last couple of years. He can't. He hasn't earned that. I don't care what you did 5 years ago. I don't care what you did last year, okay? Getting to a Big 12 championship. This season was such a disaster for Oklahoma State that there have to be consequences here. This is not a team that was expected to win the Big 12 that went 6-6. This is a team that did not compete in the Big 12 this year. I mean, they had half of their losses by 20 points or more. They lost to K-State by 22, West Virginia by 24, Arizona State by 21, TCU by 25, and Colorado by 52. That's 5 of your 9 Big 12 losses by at least 20 points. That is an absolute embarrassment for Oklahoma State. And the program, the university, deserves to say, all right, what are you doing to fix this? Not, it's okay, Mike, you got this. No. What are you doing to fix this? And I do wonder if we're getting to this awkward point that we get to with some coaches and some college programs where they think that they are larger than life, cannot be criticized, and are basically immune from anything. No one should be there in life. Politicians shouldn't be there. Coaches shouldn't be there. Athletes shouldn't be there. No one in corporate America should be there. You have to have checks and balances to keep people honest. And if that's the weird, awkward, disappointing place we're getting to with Mike Gundy, then this issue with Oklahoma State is going to get uglier before it gets better. And then there's Utah beating UCF. And the story there is Gus Malzahn is out. Of course, as UCF's head coach, he is going to Florida State. And honestly, best case for everybody. UCF saves nearly $12 million in the buyout. Malzahn moves on. UCF can find that coach that can not only recruit but can develop. UCF had 2 bad seasons in the Big 12. This year was worse than last year. Last year, at least, they got to the bowl game. This year, they were supposed to be better, and they went 2-7 in the Big 12. I thought they'd get to a Big 12 championship. I had Utah UCF playing for a Big 12 title. They went a combined 4-14. So as good as my Week 14 picks were, my preseason picks were bad. Now, most of the Big 12 preseason picks were bad. Everybody had the Big 12 standings upside down. But either way, this UCF team needs a new leader. And they're getting it, and Malzahn did them a favor by going to Florida State and saving them a lot of money. And now they can look for that next head coach. And there are going to be options out there. I think it's a really good job, a very underrated job. And whoever gets this job can win in this place immediately with talent, NIL money, great location, great conference, winnable conference if you get the right players in there. So there's a lot that can go in UCF's direction if they hit it with the head coach. And I'm hoping for the program that, of course, they will. And then there's Utah and the questions around what Kyle Whittingham is going to do from here on out. We know they've got a coach in waiting, but this year is certainly not the year any Utah fan expected. Even though they got this win at UCF, you go 2-7 when you were picked to win the Big 12. I know they were on their 5th-string quarterback by the end of the season, but still. Utah thought it was going to come in and kind of run the conference, and they did anything but that. With some really bad losses, the offense stunk all year long. And while I think Utah can fix this thing pretty quickly, it will be interesting to see what exactly Kyle Whittingham wants to do to get this thing trending in the right direction and if he wants to be the guy to get this thing trending in the right direction. And that is what is going to make a huge difference when we talk about the future of this conference and the future of this league going forward and what exactly it looks like. I'm Pete Mundo. We are Heartland College Sports. If you are new here, make sure you subscribe to the channel. We talk Big 12, start to finish, all the time on this channel, on YouTube, on the podcast, on Spotify, Apple, wherever you are. Make sure you hit the thumbs up, hit the five-star rating, leave us a great review. I so appreciate you doing that. That's what I would be thankful for this Thanksgiving weekend. Can you leave us one of those ratings and reviews? Can you subscribe to the channel on YouTube? Because that is how we keep making this show free and providing it to you at no charge, which is what I want to keep doing, which is also why we're looking for new sponsors to come on. You can email me, PeteMundo@HeartlandCollegeSports.com, and we can connect and see if there's a fit there and help you promote your brand, your business. And, of course, it's a win-win for everybody to get in front of this growing audience of Big 12 fans. I'm Pete Mundo. Thank you for being here. And I'll leave you with this, Brett Yormark. I gave you an exclusive on Saturday on the website. If you missed it, it was on HeartlandCollegeSports.com. It was also on the forums. But Brett Yormark called the Big 12 earlier this week and told the Big 12, or told ESPN. He called ESPN, excuse me, and told them to get their act together when it came to the Big 12 coverage. Here's what my sources told me on Saturday. They told me that Yormark called ESPN personally and put a lot of pressure on the network to fix the way they spoke and showcased the Big 12 conference. That, of course, came in the wake of Desmond Howard's beyond stupid commentary a couple of weeks ago when they were going to do their picks and they were talking about the Arizona State K-State game, and Desmond Howard's like, I don't even know why we're picking the game. The game had huge Big 12 implications. Desmond Howard sounded like an idiot. Now, if you watch that show with any regularity, that's not a surprise to you. Desmond Howard is an idiot. But still, that was such an insult to the Big 12. And for ESPN to have a guy like that on there saying stupid things like that, when you are one of the biggest TV partners of the Big 12 along with Fox, it's embarrassing for everybody. And we wrote a lot about it on the website. And the fact that Yormark called them personally and said, listen, get your freaking act together with the way you talk about this league. I'm glad he did that. That proves to me that this league has the right leader in charge. Brett Yormark is the best guy that could possibly be reading and leading this conference right now. He was on the TV broadcaster in the K-State-Iowa State game on Saturday night. We wrote about that if you want to see his comments at HeartlandCollegeSports.com. But he made it very clear. The committee's got to focus on strength of schedule. And every Big 12 contender going into the weekend had a better strength of schedule than Boise State, who people were talking about getting a bye in the college football playoff over the Big 12 champion, which is ludicrous. And that's the kind of stuff Yormark has to start doing more of. I am actively trying to get him on the show this week. I really hope that we can do it, because I believe this would be an important platform for him to be on and share his message on. So I'm going to work my tail off to make that happen for you guys. Another reason you want to be subscribed here at HeartlandCollegeSports.com. But man, I'm telling you, this league has the right guy in charge. He will call it the way it is. He's not going to necessarily play nice like some of the old guard did. He's going to say this league deserves to be respected by the College Football Playoff Committee, by the TV partners, and you saw the change. Nick Saban suddenly talking about Cam Scataboo as a Heisman contender. I'm not sure most of the panel at College Game Day could have told you who Cam Scataboo was before a few days ago. So I'm optimistic, but we're going to keep banging that drum. We're going to defend this conference more than anybody else in the college football media landscape, because this is what we do and what I've been doing for 10 years. At HeartlandCollegeSports.com. I'm Pete Mundo. I hope you guys have a great rest of your day. Make sure you are subscribed to the channel. Make sure you're here, and we'll talk to you soon. Go Big 12.
All right, we're all set for the party. I've trimmed the tree, hung the mistletoe, and paired all those weird-shaped knives and forks with the appropriate cheeses. And I plugged in the Bartesian.
Bartesian?
It's a home cocktail maker that makes over 60 premium cocktails, plus a whole lot of seasonal favorites, too. I just got it for 50 off. So, how about a Klausmopolitan or a mistletoe margarita?
I'm thirsty.
Watch. I just pop in a capsule, choose my strength, and...
Wow, it's beginning to feel more seasonal in here already.
If your holiday party doesn't have a bartender, then you become the bartender. Unless you've got a Bartesian, because Bartesian crafts every cocktail perfectly in as little as 30 seconds. And I just got it for $50 off.
'Tis the season to be jollier.
Add some holiday flavor to every celebration with the sleek, sophisticated home cocktail maker, Bartesian. Pick up your phone and shake it to get $50 off any cocktail maker. Yes, you heard me. Shake your phone and get $50 off. Don't delay.